this Christmas season sneak up on anybody? Yeah? You guys, some of you are ready for it? Okay. Okay, a few of you are ready for it. I love singing Christmas carols, not just because I know them, but because I get to say words I don't normally say. Like, lo, and thee, and thy, and thou, and woes, and consolation. Really enjoyed the cloven word in there. I don't know if you guys caught that, but how many of you said cloven in conversation this past week? Okay, well, now you've said it today. Of course, Jason repeated several times, and the song's repeated several times, kind of the word of the day is hope. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in a world without God and without hope. But now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. There's hope. That's the hope right there. Amen. If you're new here, watching online or in person, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I'm excited to spend a little bit of time with you. Three questions. The answers are always going to be yes, okay? Okay. So if you happen to be in this season walking around, whether it's the grocery store or you're driving in the neighborhood and you see some young man helping some older person into their house or across the street with their groceries, you might be able to assume that they are a Boy Scout. Am I right? Yeah, I mean, they could be a lot of different things, but you could assume that they're a Boy Scout, even if they're not wearing their vest and outfit and stuff, because of how they are living. They're living helpful. Okay? Second question is also going to be yes. You guys are going to get this by the third question. Let's say you're out in, Centennial Trail or somewhere around this gorgeous area, and you're taking a hike, and you see the hiker in front of you in his hiking boots and backpack, and they walking along, they bend over to pick up some trash that they did not drop. You can assume that they live by the leave no trace ethic. Am I right? Not because they hand you a pamphlet and tell you all about the ethics of leave no trace, but because they're living what they follow. Tracking with me? You guys know what the answer to the third question is going to be?
Yes.
Good. Don't say it quite yet. Let's say you are driving out of town and this passes you. Is it safe to assume this is an Amish family? Yeah, I mean, not just because of the buggy and the horse and the hair and the beard and the outfits, but because if you were to spend a day or a week with them in their property, they would be living what they believed. This makes sense? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody who claimed to be part of a club or an organization actually lived the values of said club or organization? Yeah, that wasn't even an answer, but yes, wouldn't it be nice if they would do that? I mean, that's what should be expected. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, good, you guys got this. I'm not the only one who says this. One of Jesus' best friends says this, that we should live the way that we claim to think, to act, to believe. Let me pray. And we'll see what we see, hear what we hear, and ask the Spirit of God to change us in ways that only He can. Lord God, thank You for this morning. I thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank You that we can celebrate that. And Lord, even if we weren't ready yet for Christmas trees and lights and candles, I thank You that it's here. And I thank You for the hope in this season that we get to long for the arrival of Christ again. That is our hope, that Christ would return. Help us live into that hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so everybody say wow. That's pretty good. All right, it's December already, December 1st. We are starting month 12 of a 12-month sermon series. Woohoo! Right? Wow. If you have a Bible, turn or tap with me to 1 John chapter 2. If you do not have one of these fill in the blanks, I'm not going to call it a bulletin insert because that would mean we had a bulletin to insert it in. What were you calling it? Brochure? Program? Homework?
Worksheet.
If you don't have one of these, raise your hands because we're going to be all over the place in Scripture today and this will really help you. And if you fill this out today, you can show me after service, and I brought my candy drawer to you, okay? You may have noticed that those kids were sitting up here. They got eyes in the back of their head. They saw the candy. All right, so we're going to be kind of all over the place. If you're new with us, like I said, welcome. Like Jason said, welcome. We have been doing this Bible in a year based on the texts out of this Bible. And if you look at where the bookmark is, oh, we don't have all that much left. We've come a long way. By now you know, because we've said it just about every Sunday, that on Sundays we take the texts that are assigned to us and we teach on those. We ask the question, where's Jesus in these texts? Where's his heart, his passion, his compassion, his discipline, his love, all of that? We've based this entire series on something Jesus told a group of religious people when he was talking to them and having a bit of a conversation. He said this in John chapter 5, verse 39. Did I not put that one up there? There we go. You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. It means a little bit more after we've spent 11 months searching the Scriptures because they point to Jesus. So this Sunday, our New Testament text comes from a letter that one of Jesus' closest friends wrote to a group of believers. Now, we don't know who these believers were. We don't know where they lived. We don't know what they did. But we know from the clues in the text that they were a group of believers, new in their faith, seeking to learn to follow the way of Jesus. Now, we're going to pick up our text a little bit before the assigned reading today. So I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let me find where I'm starting. Here we go. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll read through chapter 2, verse 6. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Very appropriate that we took communion together this morning. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for sin. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Boy, there's hope in that verse right there. Verse 3, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And this is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live their lives in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live their lives in God should live their lives as Jesus did. You can tell you're part of an Amish community if you go to their property and you're living the ways that they live. Not just because they say we believe these things, but because they actually live them. If you want to know whether or not a person is actually following Christ, look at how they live. If you want to know whether or not someone is serious about their faith, look at their words through their actions. Are they living the way Jesus did? I mean, because 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Since you're filling out these things, because I know every single person in here is, the first blank says write out 1 John 2:6. It's on the screen. There's your answer. Pretty straightforward, don't you think? So how did Jesus live his life? Now, the easiest thing to say would be, well, go read the Gospels, right? And by now, we have all read, if we're reading together, all four Gospels. That'd be the easiest way to do it. This next year, 2025, I'm actually very much looking forward to reading just the Gospels. I bought a Bible that is just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No chapter markings, no verse references, no nothing. It reads like a book. It is just the story of Jesus, and I am so excited just to hang out with Jesus in my devotional life. We can get so caught up in all the other parts of this, which is good. We've been reading it. It's good. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, this is the Jesus we serve. This is a Jesus we try and emulate. This is how Jesus lived his life. If you want to prove that you're following God, right? Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. Now, for the sake of our series, I took some time this last week and reviewed all the sermons that I preached this year. Just me, not the others. And it's amazing how many other people have spoken. Thank you to everybody who has. I wanted to see where else could we see how Jesus lived. Because again, every Sunday we've been asking a question, where's Jesus? So not just where is he, but how has he lived? So this is going to be a little recap. This is why you've got a whole bunch of blanks. Follow along. If at any point you miss a blank, just raise your hand and your neighbor will tell you what it is. Okay, got it? Okay, so January 7th. Now, but I'm going to say, bear with me. This does not take near as long to go through a year's worth of sermons as it does to preach and prepare a year's worth of sermons. All right, January 7th, the first day of this year, we saw Jesus acting as King and New Covenant, but the thing that stood out to me the most was that we saw Jesus seeing people as the God who sees. If you remember, Abraham's slave Hagar had an encounter with God, and she said this in Genesis 16, verse 13. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" Now, on that day, many, many weeks ago, we looked forward in the Gospels a little bit, and I pointed out how so many times it says Jesus looked at people. Jesus saw people. And it wasn't just like what color their pants or their robe were or their beard was. It was the core of who they are. We looked at that because Jesus sees people. It's how he lived. If you're following along, that's number two. Jesus sees people. The next Sunday, we got to hear Jesus' heart for the poor. We saw this in a small verse in our psalm for the day, Psalm chapter 12, verse 5. The Lord replies, "I have seen violence done to the helpless, and I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them, as they have longed for me to do." If you remember that Sunday, we had John Spotts come up to the front. John, you remember that? It's a long time ago. That's been a while, almost 52 weeks, probably closer to like 48. We had John come up, and he shared one of the ways that First Church helps love and care for those without homes. We talked about feeding a meal to those downtown once a month. So we saw that Jesus stood for the helpless. He fought for the oppressed, and he heard the poor. It's how he lived. Not just what he taught, it's how he lived. You tracking with me? Okay, this is why we're doing it. 1 John 2:6. Everybody read this with me. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. We may have that memorized by the end of today. Jesus sees people, stands up for the helpless, the oppressed, and the poor. It's how he lived. All of a sudden, we're in February. See, that didn't take too long. Right, February, our Old Testament reading was found in Exodus chapter 20, February 4th. Those who know the Hebrew Scriptures know that that's the chapter of the Ten Commandments. And on that day, we looked and we watched as Jesus took the commandments from just like actions, from hand, and turned them to heart. He pushed them from following the letter of the law to the heartbeat behind it. And we keyed in on our assigned proverb for the day, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Two more slides. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them to your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Jesus took the commands and moved them from hand to heart. It's how he lived. February 11th, we looked at Exodus chapter 33, and in that text and the surrounding text, we saw that the text says that nobody can see God face to face and live. And then not too much longer, we saw that Moses sat with God face to face as a man sits with his friend. And we kind of stewed in that for a little while, wrestled with it. And then we jumped to the New Testament, the passage we were in, Matthew 23, and we saw that was Peter's account of the denial of Jesus. And we looked as Peter denied Jesus the third time and they made eye contact. And we told you that, wow, Peter got to see God in flesh face to face. He got to see Jesus live the weight of glory that God had asked him to. On March 3rd, we saw Psalm 46, a psalm a lot of us know, and a verse a lot of us know. Read it with me, Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." We saw Jesus that day in the still, but we also saw him in the chaos of the rest of that psalm. And it was actually really fitting because that day in Mark 11, which was our reading, we saw Jesus make a mess of the temple, like literally flipping tables, cracking a whip. I said, yes, we can see Jesus in the calm, but we also see him in the chaos. Jesus lived in the calm and in the chaos. It's how he lived. The next Sunday, we saw Jesus not kick Peter out of the one-and-done club when Peter had denied him three times. We saw Peter weeping in response to these denials, and we saw Jesus taking the initiative to seek relationship and the restoration of relationship, and Jesus seeking forgiveness. This is how he lived. Number six, Jesus seeks relationship. Jesus seeks forgiveness. The next Sunday, we dug deeply into our proverb for the day again, Proverb 11:15. There's danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt. On that day, I said Jesus didn't treat us as strangers, but treated us as friends because he secured our debt. Right? Sacrificially for others. This is how Jesus lived. He lived sacrificially. You guys remembering any of these sermons? You can say, I mean, just nod, and I'm not going to know one way or the other. It helps that I have them all on my computer. Palm Sunday, we did not look at the traditional Palm Sunday text, but instead we looked at Luke 6 when Jesus picked his team. You guys got to remember that one, right? We introduced the team. Here comes Andrew from such and such. And blah, blah, blah. Remember that? Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yes. We looked at how these men were part of the future parade that was going to take place because they were part of this process of the nations praising God. Our psalm for the day said, Psalm 67, verse 3, it read, "May the nations praise you, O God." Yes, may all the nations praise you. Jesus picked 12 men, a team of misfits, and this team changed the world. Because the nations now praise the Lord, I wonder, are we willing to surround ourselves with the unexpected? Because Jesus surrounded himself with the unexpected. That's how he lived. And why are we looking at all this? 1 John 2:6, read it with me. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Huh. Easter Sunday, March 31st of this year, was a powerful Sunday. This one I remember fondly because the kids did just about everything. McCade emceed with me. The kids led the worship team. They were in the back. They were handing out the offering. They were reading the passages, and we talked about tents. Like the tents you crawl in and sleep. And because of that, we said this points to Jesus' provision. He's a provider for us. He provides for our past, our present, and our future. A provider for others. This is how Jesus lived. Now, this is how we get through the year quite quickly. I didn't preach again until the end of April. Hot dog. And on that day, I said, do what the girls did. Do what the girls did. We looked at Luke chapter 24, the passage after the resurrection of Jesus, and we looked at how the women in the story went to the tomb. They believed what they heard, and they went and told everybody about it. So I said, go, tell, believe, and we actually baptized Miss Thea on that day as a living example of somebody going and believing and telling. It was a fantastic Sunday. Now we hit May, and once again we see Jesus looking at what's inside of us, not just what's outside, but what's inside. And I told you that when you're squeezed, what comes out is what you've been absorbing. When you're squeezed, what comes out is what you've been absorbed. Jesus said something similar in Mark 7. He said, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. That day we looked and we saw that when Jesus was squeezed, forgiveness and grace came out. Forgiveness and grace. In June, we again saw Jesus living a life of forgiveness, and he also lived a life of prayer. That's how Jesus lived. It's not a fill in the blank because I forgot to put it on the sheet. But if you want to write Jesus lived a life of prayer, you can. Okay, because that's what he did. In July, we looked at the prayer of Jabez on the first Sunday, and then I preached the second Sunday, one of the most politically driven sermons I've ever preached, and I said, Jesus doesn't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. He just wants your heart. Stay with me. We still here? Because all of a sudden, it's August. Right? That wasn't all that far ago. So August, we began the prophet Isaiah and didn't get too far before Jesus' life lived out in the Old Testament became very evident. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows. Jesus must have lived like this because his half-brother James wrote this in James 1:27. Pure and genuine religion means, in the sight of God our Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay, the answer is yes. Did Jesus live like this?
Yes.
Seven of you believed it. At least seven of you said it like you meant it. Jesus did good. Jesus sought justice. Jesus helped the oppressed. Jesus defended the cause of orphans. Jesus fought for the rights of widows. If you didn't get all those blanks, again, look at your neighbors. This isn't cheating. It's church, okay? It's good. We've heard all this before. It's not surprising. Why? Because this is how Jesus lived. The next week, we got to see Jesus' heart of inclusion. As the Apostle Paul talked about the Lord's Supper and communion in 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus included others. It's how he lived. All right. The week after that, we watched, as I said, Jesus sat with people in the middle of their pain and sorrow and mess that we call life, even sitting with them for a long time. We mentioned Job, and we looked at Psalm 40, verse 1. We were reminded that Jesus' promise to never leave us nor forsake us still holds true today. Why? Because he's faithful to us. This is not a blank either, because I forgot that one as well. But Jesus is faithful to us. Don't lose sight of what we're doing today. You could just think, wow, James stood up there, and you know, he just recapped the entire year of sermons, and we got to fill in the blank and everything. But this is why we're doing this. 1 John 2, verse 6. Read it with me like you mean it. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus lived. How did Jesus live? Take a look at your fill in the blanks that we filled out so far. September arrived, and on the first Sunday of that month, I told you Jesus was the initiator of reconciliation. So Jesus reconciles. He starts it. He completes it. It's the way he lived. In October, we looked at how Jesus was the old way mentioned in Jeremiah, the ancient paths that we should be following, because if we're following him, if we're living like him, then we're living out 1 John 2, verse 6, right? And in the next Sunday after that, we looked at Titus 2, and we learned a Greek word. And I told you that if you remember it the Sunday after, I'd give you candy. It's now many Sundays after, but got a handful. Who remembers the Greek word we learned that day? Oh! That is fantastic. She should get the whole bowl of candy. I didn't even remember it. I had to look it up. right? Sophron. It means to live wisely, but it also means to live a life that is commanded by God and not commanded by ourselves. Do you know who lived a life commanded by God?
Jesus,
always the correct answer in here. Except today, if you're filling in the blanks, it doesn't work if you just put Jesus in all of them. Somebody asked me that earlier. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, so we saw Jesus living a life commanded by God. It's how he lived. Look, we're in November. In November, we saw how Jesus, in hearing God's no, was able to fully understand us. He understands us. That's Hebrews chapter 5. In the next week, we saw Jesus standing in the gap for humanity. He stands in the gap, Ezekiel 22. And then we saw him going through trials. Jesus goes through trials so that we can get the heart transplant we desperately need. You want to know how Jesus lives? He reconciles. He lives a life commanded by God. He understands us. He stands in the gap. He goes through the trials. This is how he lives, which brings us up to December 1st. And our text for today, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3, 4, and 5. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. Is not living the truth. Pretty cut and dry. Those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Read this verse with me. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. I mentioned at the beginning of the service, you could tell someone who's Amish by how they lived. And yes, because they ride horses and buggies and have beards and hats. Okay? But more importantly, it's because it's how they lived. This year, we've spent the question asking, we spent the year asking the question, where's Jesus? Not just so that you could impress your friends with, hey, want to know where Jesus is in Genesis? Let me show you. Or want to know where Jesus is in Ezekiel or Jeremiah or in the Corinthian letters? No, we've been looking at where's Jesus so that we could figure out how Jesus lived, so that we could figure out how we live, because those who claim they live in God live their lives as Jesus did. So my question for you is this, as you're looking at your fill in the blanks, which one's the hardest for you? Don't say it out loud. I'm going to invite Tim and the worship team to come back up. We obviously didn't cover every facet of how Jesus lived, so that's where I'll go back to the beginning of the service. Read the Gospels, okay? You'll be able to see how he lived in there. But from just the Sundays that I taught this year, we got a decent look at how he lived. And I would encourage you, if our challenge is to live as Jesus lived, to take a look at that list and, you know what, go so far as to circle the one that is the hardest for you. I'm not going to collect these. I won't know. Your neighbor may not know unless they're looking at your answer sheet, which is fine. Okay, circle it. And then, this is a big ask. Ask God to give you opportunities this week to work on that. Oh. I mean, because if you ask God for patience, he doesn't just poof give you patience. He gives you opportunities to practice patience. Am I right? If you ask God for a loving heart, he doesn't just poof give you a loving heart. He gives you opportunities to love people. See what I'm saying? So if you ask God to give you opportunities to practice, you ask God to give you a forgiving heart, because that's how Jesus lived. Oh, good chance he's going to give you an opportunity to forgive. So I would ask, if you are so bold as to circle, and then in a minute or two, as Tim quietly plays, ask God, give me opportunities to work on that this week. And if you really want to go nuts, ask him to give you opportunities to work on that all month. I'm a little bit hesitant to do that, but I think I'm gonna. Okay? Will you do that with me? Let's pray. Father, I'll be the first to admit that if you were to take me on any given day, I would hope that I'd be living like Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, there is a lot of times when I'm not. In a Sunday like this, where we review what we've learned, where we look back in order to look forward, it's a good reminder for me It's a good reminder for us that the whole reason we meet isn't so that we can spout off our doctrines and our theology, but it's so we can copy Christ who said, "Follow me." And he said, when you search the scriptures, they point to me. Lord, there's probably two or three on this sheet that I've circled, and I will ask you this week to help me work on one of them. And God, this month, give me opportunities to work on all three. I don't pray this lightly, but I trust that the Spirit of God that lives in me will give me the courage and the strength and the endurance to live each day, each moment, as Jesus lived. We'll just take a moment or two in quiet before the worship team leads us in the final song. So look at your list. Circle it. Circle the one you struggle with the most, and then ask God to give you a chance to work on that this week. And when we're ready, the team will lead us in song.